This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is this Hall of Famer right about Luka? Plus, where would the Dallas Mavericks be right now had they taken this player instead? So, it all starts like this. You have Paul Pierce, and I do believe we have the audio here. Paul Pierce shouting out Luka in a huge way.
I expect special things from him. I mean, you talk about a kid who made one of the biggest leaps in recent memory, from a rookie of the year to MVP caliber player. I mean, he's one of every European championship that you can think of, every European MVP that you can think of. So I expect special things from this kid. Clearly, he's special. He's a talent. He's probably, to me, he is the most talented player in the NBA today. And the lights are never too bright for him. So I expect big things out of him come playoff time.
Most talented player in the NBA.
Paul Pierce he sometimes has some very wild shots that he throws out there, okay? He'll throw something that you're like, what in the hell? And a lot of people will disagree with him. And I think this is a hot take nationally. I don't think that there are a lot of people that disagree with it. And you know what? You're not going to find a single person in this area that wants to disagree with it, even if Kevin does disagree with it. You don't want to because you love yourself some Luka more than you did early in the season.
I really enjoyed, Corey, when you brought up the definition of talent versus skill.
That was interesting, yeah.
Do you want me to find that again?
Because I feel like when you look at the definition of talent and you look at the definition of skill, I feel like if Paul Pierce would have said, Luka is the most skilled player in the NBA today, I think it would have been more of a truthful statement than Luka is one of the most talented players. Not that he's not talented at all. I think he's top 10 talent too. But I think if you said he was the most skilled player in the NBA, I think you'd have a better case for that being a truthful statement.
I don't know. Has he won the Taco Bell Skills Challenge at All-Star Game? I've been told that is the most skilled player.
Is that how
player.
You determine who truly is the most skilled?
He entered that as a rookie and didn't try. And I remember being disappointed and going, Luka, please try.
Yeah. When you're going to show up, try. Be like Jimmy Butler.
According to the 2020 Skills Challenge, Bam Adebayo is the most skilled player in the NBA.
All right. Sold. Kevin. The Heat are going to dominate. With Bam Adebayo being the most skilled, Jimmy Butler practicing in his hotel room, there's no way the Heat can be stopped.
Talent is defined as natural aptitude or skill, and skill is defined as the ability to do something well. And so skill can be – you can be natural at it, but you can also work at it.
Okay,
skilled.
Let me ask you this then. By that definition then, and you were just kind of alluding to it, do you think skill is more the hard work end game of your talent? Like, I feel like skill – is to a certain extent what you can do with your talent. Like, I think Vince Young is the most talented, but like Peyton Manning might be the most skilled. Mm-hmm. Like something along those lines?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the way I see it, Corey. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, Peyton Manning didn't have the arm talent or the foot talent that some other quarterbacks have.
Like Jeff George was the most talented because he had the biggest arm any human had ever seen, but he was not the most skilled.
I think we can look at people who's in the NBA today, and he's carved out a niche in the NBA. I think when I saw Gerald Green the first 2 or 3 years in the NBA, I thought, wow, that talent is tremendous. And you can fall real short. I mean, far short of your talent. I feel like when we talk about the skill, that's somebody who – now, I think that LeBron is one of the most skilled players in the history of the NBA. He's also one of the most talented in the history of the NBA, too. So he has taken his talents and matched it with the skills. But I feel like when you take your skills to the extreme, you've taken your talent to the extreme. But we can't say, boy, he's one of the most skilled and not a very good player. I know that there are cases where you can say that, but I feel like that's rare where we can say, man, that guy is super skilled, but not very good at the game.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you there. And I think there's, you know,
Dennis Smith Jr. is a very talented player.
Yeah.
Not skilled at all.
Doesn't have the skill set to go along with it. And I think that Luka can, I think he can become more skilled as he goes along. And it goes a lot to the argument that Sean used to have that Luka's never going to win a dunk contest. He used to say he's not explosive. And yeah, I've watched Luka dunk before. You also watch Luka laugh about dunking sometimes because he's like, I'm not really, you know, that's not my thing. But I think that he can become more, you know, as he progresses physically, as he works out and works on things, but that comes from the skill that he works on to get those physical talents. So I think the skill set of Luka is something that everybody really, really admires. Now, the natural vision, I don't know how to explain that as much. A lot of it comes to, I've practiced this pass 1,000 times. I know I can do it. But then again, there's sometimes when you're running down the court and you just know a guy's there. And that comes from studying or just having a very good feel for the game. And there are a lot of guys, there are a lot of moments. We've all played a sport where we've had that moment where we had a feel for something that was just natural, but we did it 1,000 times. So maybe that, I can't, there's a lot of things that can define those.
So we obviously, we're all thrilled that Luke is here and it's going to change the future of this franchise. What if we would have gotten DeAndre Ayton? So CBS put out a redraft for 2018, and in this instance, the Phoenix Suns, of course, they have the number one pick. They take Luka Doncic. What interests me about this is Sacramento goes with Jaren Jackson, not Trae Young, and Trae Young sticks with the Hawks. He goes 3. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander goes 4, and then DeAndre Ayton goes 5 to the Mavericks. So a couple of different options here. What if DeAndre Ayton would have come to the Mavericks? And then the other one, and Bassick, you've brought this up to us off-air, as Carlisle said at the time that they would have gone with Wendell Carter Jr. had they not been able to pull off the trade. What if one of those two players would have been here instead?
We would be looking at drafting in the top 5, I believe, right now. We would be going, man, I hope when this thing gets over, because the Mavericks aren't in it, I hope that the Mavericks get lucky for the first time in the history of the lottery and land the first pick, and they can have their choice of Wiseman or Anthony Edwards is probably who you're choosing between.
Love for LaMelo, huh?
No. And I do like him. I do think he's going to be a good player, but he needs to go to a really bad situation. And maybe the Mavericks in this situation would be a really bad situation where he could have total control of the destiny of the franchise, because that's what his father is putting out there, is that LaMelo needs to go to, he's not saying this, but he's saying he shouldn't go to the Warriors because, you know, he can't fit in with a good team. He needs to go to a team where he dominates the ball and dominates the destiny of that franchise. And so I don't know if I want to take a guy that's saying those things through father.
I'm just kind of curious. Mike, you're dead on. This team, I don't think with any other player would be in the playoffs, like looking at the playoffs, being excited right now. Yeah. With the question mark of are we really potentially a dark horse for the NBA Finals? Like, when you hear Avery Johnson say that, when you hear – there are people around the league, around the NBA, around you know, all over, that are looking at this team going, if a couple things break their way, and if those two guys play like all-stars, that team's making – and you hear this a lot – making noise.
You know what?
We wouldn't be there with DeAndre Ayton right now.
Here's going to be a tough thing about that. Man, I have so many places I want to go. It was a good point, Corey, because I wanted to go another place, but I'm going to stick with you here.
And you wouldn't have Porzingis, Mike. Probably wouldn't have Chris.
Right, and that's another branch here. But I want to go with the could they be a dark horse to win the finals, because Did you guys watch the Game 5 of Utah Jazz-Dallas Mavericks when they replayed it and they kept going to Dirk for interviews on Fox Sports Southwest?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't.
All right, so here's what Dirk was saying at the finish of that when they went back to Dirk and interviewed him in his house during coronavirus. And he said, look at us right now. We look like we just won the NBA Finals. I mean, Dirk's running circles around the court, you know, throwing Steve Nash around. I mean, everybody's going nuts. You can see Donnie Nelson Jr., you know, going nuts on the basketball court. Mark Cuban going nuts. And Dirk kind of said, we won the NBA Finals. That was our NBA Finals. And so here's what I don't know, Corey. If Luka, who's never been in the NBA playoffs, same with Porzingis, same with a lot of players on the Dallas Mavericks, if they were to play the LA Clippers or the Denver Nuggets, right now those are kind of the teams that you're looking at playing, would they, if they defeated those guys in a seven-game series, would they feel like they just won the NBA Finals and then they have to take on that next team, and then all of a sudden, like the San Antonio Spurs, they find themselves blown out in the first two games in 2001 and go, oh, crap, there's actually more playoffs we have to play? Like, we just felt like we won the NBA Finals by upsetting this team. And Dirk kind of talked about it was tough to get, like, re-engaged in another series because we were such an underdog team, never been in the playoffs, that it was the NBA Finals to us to come back from down 0-2 and win the next three against the Utah Jazz.
So I think that's a really great point. I think the biggest difference here would be is I think then you might get a matchup with, like, Denver or something like that, as opposed to
right.
Maybe the best team remaining, if I have that correctly. And then maybe you'd have a better shot. But I get your point, and I can see that being problematic. It would be interesting. Sorry, Bassi. It would be interesting, though, is what if it's tied 2-2, and then they take that 3-2 lead, and they decide in that moment, we're not here for the upset. We're here because we're damn good. And then that'll carry over to the next series.
And that's been – Mike, you know this. That's been Carlisle's message this entire time. We're not a young team looking to build. We're a young team looking to do something extraordinary. Rick Carlisle said that. So, Kevin, to your point, whenever a moment like that happens, I don't think Rick Carlisle lets them think otherwise, that they don't belong there.
Couple things here. Fox Sports Southwest, out of having Oklahoma City, San Antonio Spurs, Dallas Mavericks, and New Orleans Pelicans. They have all of those teams working out of the same building. They're having to guess because their people also work on the Texas Rangers, just to give you an idea. They're guessing that out of those teams, the team that has the best chance to play deep into the playoffs is the Dallas Mavericks. Does that matter? Doesn't really matter, but they're having to make guesstimations based off of what they can do. So that's great that Fox Sports Southwest believes that the team that has the best chance to actually make it to a second round or a conference finals is the Dallas Mavericks out of those four teams. Now, I got to go back to Paul Pierce. I think we left that conversation too soon, okay? So here's what I'm going to throw in, and then you guys can discuss here. Is it because guys like Dirk Nowitzki had such success or Manu Ginobili had so much success? Because let's face it, I don't think – I'm going to put a little bit of things on here that maybe people don't like. I don't think the American, especially black basketball player, was that excited about saying something about a foreign white guy and that he could possibly be the best basketball player in the NBA. And I'm going back to my days of being a fan of the Dallas Mavericks and a fan of Dirk Nowitzki. Do you guys find that is changing, or do you find that wow, Paul Pierce put something on it that American black basketball players don't like putting on a foreign white guy?
He's not the only one, though, right? Because, like, the respect that Kendrick Perkins has put on him, the respect that LeBron has put on him, there are other guys in the league that are saying the same thing. So Mike, I don't think – I mean, just because Paul Pierce did, it's there, everybody's saying it.
Yeah, and I think what you're speaking to is like a cultural change.
History and culture of we're not ever going to say Dirk Nowitzki is actually like a top three player in the NBA.
It wasn't
like,
until he won the finals that people really gave Dirk the respect that we had for him here locally.
And I get what you're talking about, but I'd caution you making it about the players themselves because, like, obviously the players felt it, but the reason why this became a prominent thing is because – also, management felt this, right? We had front office folks that talked about it in that way where European players are soft and such. So I think that some of that was based in reality, right? The idea that the European game was a little bit different and not as much based on, like, the particular athleticism that you see in the NBA. But some of that was just having to have a certain exposure to those guys. And now we play a more global game, right? Like, there's a lot more intermingling between the European players and the American style of basketball. So I think that also factors in now where – and then plus, you know, we just have more exposure to them. So now it's a lot less of, you know, just going based off of rumors and things. Now we could see them a little bit more and see the game and as it's developed, particularly with Luka. I mean, we were talking about Luka, at least people that, you know, are really deep into basketball a year, 2 years before he ended up looking like he was going to come over where, yo, there's this guy in Europe and he's incredible.
Yeah.
So I think that also factors in.
Yeah, thank you, Reggie. Because I find that interesting now that has over time changed where that was something that it was almost like we're not saying that about somebody that's not kind of from here, you know, doing those types of things.
While we're in the midst of basketball talk, I wanted to throw this out there. Did you see that Harrison Barnes, former Dallas Maverick, great contributor to the community, tested positive for Corona as well? He said he's been primarily asymptomatic.
Which that's not a thing. That's if you have any
asymptomatic
symptoms,
or you're not.
Yeah. If you have any symptoms, slight symptoms,
then you're not asymptomatic.
That's not how that works.
But he
you're
still
a
hopes
or B.
He still hopes to join the team. So yeah, Harrison Barnes, he tested positive for Corona as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.